Family matters to God. Your family matters to God. God instituted the family. And when He instituted the family, He has a way for it to work. He designed it. He wants it to work His way. It matters to Him how your family is doing. Families go through different things. There are times when things in the family are good. And sometimes there are times where things in the family are shaken up, unstable, not so good. But I want you to know tonight that family matters to God. Every individual of your family matters to God, and every individual of my family matters to God. Not only that, God discusses the matters of family in the Bible. He didn't just create an institution without any instruction. He put an institution together that He designed from the very start of His creation. And then He gave us instruction in the Word of God related to our families. And so the title of the series is Family Matters. It matters to God. And then we're going to look at family matters in the Scriptures to help our families to be what God wants them to be. And so I hope the series can be a help to our families. I'm burdened for families. I'm burdened over stubbornness. I'm burdened over pride. I'm burdened over hard-heartedness. I'm burdened over some giving up on family members. I'm burdened over growing satisfaction to live with the way things are and not to take any move toward family relationships that are broken, that are hurt. Knowing that God's not pleased with that. In our text tonight, the Scripture broadcasts both a warning and a promise in relationship to the family. A warning and a promise. The principle that I'm going to preach on tonight relates to the principle of sowing and reaping. It is the principle of personal responsibility. And I would argue from the Scriptures tonight that every family member, I'm talking about 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds and 12-year-olds and 15-year-olds and 21-year-olds and husbands and wives, every family member has personal responsibility in the family. There are personal responsibilities given to every family member. Children, mothers, wives, husbands, fathers, all of us have responsibilities in the context of the family. And the Bible gives us a very clear principle in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 29. It says, "He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart." Every family member in a family has the personal privilege and responsibility of making choices. Every family member has that. I can wake up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed, and I can just be a grumpy old man all day long. I can make that choice. That's my choice. By the way, all of the things we do in our family and the words that we say and the actions that we take and the attitudes that we display and the commitments or lack of commitment that we show is a demonstration of our choices. We all make choices in our family. And the Bible says here, "He that troubleth his own house," that's a choice, "shall inherit the wind." You can make wise choices or foolish choices. You can make good choices in your family tomorrow or bad choices in your family tomorrow. You can make sinful choices or you can make righteous choices. Every family member has personal responsibility in their family to make daily choices before the Lord. By the way, that will affect your family. Trouble from the outside is to be expected throughout life. And often outside troubles cause us to grow together as we overcome adversity. But when we have trouble within, particularly within the family, all the depth of hurt and heartache and frustration that is created when our family is troubled. And the Bible says here that we have the potential to create trouble by our choices in our families. If you look up the words trouble, it means to stir up. It means to aggravate. It means to disturb the mental calm and contentment of your home. That's what it means. It means to cause to worry or to bring distress upon someone. Did you know that you and I have that potential? To stir up someone in our own home, to aggravate them, to keep them from having mental calmness and contentment, to cause them to worry, to be distressed about things. Trouble, to create trouble, is to create a difficulty, to create an annoyance, to create a harassment. It is a conflict or a disturbance. To trouble your house is to put inconvenience and extra exertion and pains within your own home. That's possible for every family member to create. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Did you know that your actions and your attitudes and your choices can bring trouble or cause trouble in your own home? When there's a member of a household that constantly fights, by the way, it only takes one, with the others, the home is troubled and constantly disturbed and under distress and pain, unnecessary inconvenience because one member is not walking with the Lord and making terrible choices on a daily basis in the home. There are many ways of troubling one's own house. Tonight I want to identify some choices as I begin the message, some choices that trouble a home. I want you to know that in this passage, God holds each family member responsible. You are held accountable for the choices that you make in your home with your family. God placed you in your family. God placed you with the people that you live with every day. Thank God for those people. Thank God for the institution of the family. But I want you to know that with that privilege is given the responsibility, you are not to bring trouble to your family. I am not to bring trouble to my family. I'm to bring peace to my family. I'm to bring joy to my family. I'm to bring love to my family. I'm to make sure those things are flowing out of my life so that my home and the people around me can experience the results of living a Christian life. That's what our homes should look like. Sir, you'll not be able to blame your choices and your family on your wife or your kids. Ma'am, you'll not be able to blame your choices, everyday choices, in your family on your husband and the way he treated you, or the way that you started your marriage, or how it all started years ago. You're not going to blame shift your responsibilities in the home. Children, you're not going to blame your parents that you lived in a terrible home and grew up with parents that didn't love you or didn't spend time with you. Listen, that's not going to be accepted on the day of judgment. We're not Freud people. We're not Skinner people. We're not psychology people that say that your environment is to blame for your choices. God's going to hold all of us accountable for our choices. Remember this, nobody lives in a perfect world. Nobody lives in a perfect family. Everybody has trouble, and we are still responsible for our choices. We're responsible for our choices in the context of our family. There's a choice to build your home, or there's a choice to trouble it. We make those choices every day. Maybe you don't think about your bad attitude in your home. But I guarantee you this, when you display a bad attitude and you let a bad attitude dominate your heart and your life, and it's in the context of the home and everybody else has to step back and say, "Woo, don't touch them today," that's not building. That's troubling. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. There's personal responsibility here. Through wisdom is a house builded, by understanding it is established. But you can tear it down. You can rip it apart. You can trouble it. Children, I'll begin with you tonight. You can trouble your home by being disobedient. I'm a parent, and I'll tell you this. The greatest grief I have experienced as a parent is when my children have displayed disobedience. It is the greatest thing that troubles me, is when they have not been obedient. when they have demonstrated rebellion, when they have demonstrated an attitude when being asked to do something, it is the greatest trouble that a child can bring to a parent's heart is when you display disobedience. So, children, you want to build your house? You want to make your house good for God? You want to please God in your home? You want to help mom and dad? Then you learn what obedience is and you be about obedience. And my father taught me this. Obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. That's obedience. On-time obedience. Complete obedience. Not partial obedience. Not doing it halfway and hoping mom doesn't see what you didn't get done. I mean doing it and doing it right. And I mean doing it with a heart of joy. And I believe saying, yes, ma'am, I'd be glad to. You know what, children? Some of you have been to Chick-fil-A. You ought to learn what they say to their customers. I'd be glad to. That's a good attitude. Obedience is doing what you're told to do, when you're told to do it, with the right heart attitude. And hear me, children. I don't care if you're a 4-year-old. I don't care if you're a 6-year-old, 9-year-old, 11-year-old, 16-year-old. Hear me tonight. The best thing that you can contribute to your home is a submissive spirit to mom and dad that says, when mom and dad tell me to do something, when mom and dad give me a command, when they put something in front of me, I'm going to do it. I'll be committed to obedience. That's good preaching. A wife can trouble through nagging and through an unsubmissive spirit and a lack of reverence for her husband. These are the three things that the Bible really points out in relationship to a woman in a home. It is better in Proverbs 21:19 to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. My word, you want to trouble your house? Just be nagging all the time. Just be on somebody about something all the time. You'll drive everybody nuts. The Bible says that. Get to the wilderness. That's a better dwelling place than that. So ladies, if you want to build your home, stay away from that. Stay away from being a contentious and an argumentative and always looking for a war in your home. Don't be a nagging person. The Scripture is clear here on that. It troubles the home. Be a submissive mate. Be a mate that reverences your husband. When you don't do these things, watch this. It puts the whole home in an insecure mode. Uh-oh. You've heard it said. If mom ain't happy, there ain't no one happy. And I didn't use right English there. But you know, it's truth. A mom, a mother, a wife sets an atmosphere for that home. And you want to trouble your home, you just trouble it by setting that kind of an atmosphere. A teenager can trouble his home through threats or of leaving, through a deceptive life, through dishonoring his parents. Young people, want to speak to you tonight and just try to help you. As you get older, there's something that is breeding inside of you that God made to breed inside of you. It's called independence, right? Independence is a wonderful thing. God, we're raising our children to be independent, to think, and they're going to make their decisions. But hear me, as long as you're under the roof of your parents, you need to come under. You need to come under mom and dad. You need to honor their wishes, and honor their commands, and honor what they put into your life. Don't turn your back on that. Honor them. Be submissive to them. Don't be deceptive. Be open. Be willing to talk about your problem instead of mom and dad having to find out about it somewhere else. Parents, be listening. All right? There's nothing that troubles a home like a deceptive teenager. What's he or she going to do next? I wonder what they're doing right now. I wonder who they're with. I wonder what's going on in their mind. I have no idea what's happening in their life. I can't trust them. That's a bad, bad home. That's a home that's troubled. And young people, you can put the right ingredients in. If you got something that's going on in your life, here's how you go about it.
Say, Dad, can I talk to you? I'm not proud of what I'm about to say, but I need help. You know what? You come to your dad like that, you know what? Your dad's going to help you. Your dad's going to listen. Your dad's going to pray. Your dad's going to work with you or get some help so that you can get some help in your life. Don't live in undertow. Don't live with something going on underneath that mom and dad don't know about, that are secrets in your life. Listen, that'll destroy a home. That'll trouble a home so much. I'll tell you what it will do. It'll cause your mommy to lay on her pillow and shed tears. It'll keep your dad awake at night, hours upon hours, wondering, man, what am I going to do with my daughter? What am I going to do with my son? Boy, I don't even know how to handle this situation. My, oh my, this is overwhelming. It doesn't have to be that way. If we'll understand that each person has a personal responsibility to put things into the home that will build it, not trouble it. Let me give you some choices that will trouble your home. Number one, the sinful choice of anger. The sinful choice of anger. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It goes on to say to fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. The word provoke means to bring one along to deep-seated anger. Residing deep, deep down for years. You may have seen a young person like this. That this anger is created by an abusive father. Somebody that just blew off steam whenever he felt like it. And the teenager grows up and, you know what? Generally speaking, he doesn't want anything to do with that. He doesn't have any respect for that. He doesn't want to be like that. Anger is a sinful choice. Well, that's just the way I am. They're going to have to get used to that. Wrong. You're making sinful choices. And you're troubling your home. And hear the word of God. You're going to inherit the wind because of that. You continue to live like that. That boomerang's coming back around to you in your life. You better get a hold of that anger. You better learn to deal with it temperately. Or be temperate about it. Have self-control. Deal with it before the Lord. Deal with it in prayer. A person in the home that shows violence out of anger and is irritable all the time, is selfish with his temper. He lacks self-control and his anger shall fail. Lawson said this, a man is a plague to his family when he has a quarrelsome temper. He's a plague to his family when he has no control over anger in his life. That's dangerous. By the way, strife is a work of the flesh. And so is wrath. And so are emulations. They are not godly. They are works of the flesh. The sinful choice of anger. Secondly, the sinful choice of laziness. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Proverbs 6 says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth the meat in her summer, in the summer, and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? This takes place, this troubling takes place when a man's not diligent enough to find a job and provide for his family. This laziness takes place when ladies neglect the responsibilities of caring for the home. Ladies, for you not to keep house, say, well, preacher, I think we ought to share the responsibilities. I'm not against that, but the Bible does describe you as a keeper of the home. Right. And for you not to do that is troubling to the rest of the home. Right. It's troubling. Yep. Young people, your parents shouldn't have to clean up after you all the time. Right. Nor should they have to ask you to make their bed, make your bed, or clean your room, or get your schoolwork done 100 times during the day. One time's enough. Get a work ethic about you. Knock out your chores in the morning. If you got a list of chores, you get on them in the morning. You get those things done. You report back to mom and dad. Don't make them come to you a second and a third and a fourth time. You have some diligence and some character, some tenacity about you that says, man, if I'm given responsibility, I've got personal responsibility before the Lord to fulfill those things. Laziness in our children is not acceptable unto the Lord. And parents, we ought to demand more. You should pull your weight, perform your daily chores on time, help your parents. Laziness is a sinful choice that troubles the entire home. Thirdly, the sinful choice of deceit. the sinful choice of deceit. Proverbs chapter 20, turn there if you would. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 17. Remember, this is about choices. It's not about the way I am. It's about choices. And we make these choices. And these are choices that we need to stay away from if we're going to have the home that God wants us to have. If we're going to have a home and not a house, then we've got to make right choices. Each individual in the home has to make right choices. Deceit, the sinful choice of deceit. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, verse number 17, Proverbs 20. But afterward his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Psalm 50, verse 19 says, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Well, Pastor, it's only a little white lie that I told Mom. Gave her most of the truth. Yeah, that's deceit. That's going to come back to bite you. But afterwards, his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Every lie we tell is going to come back to bite us. First of all, it's going to come back to bite us right here in the conscience. It's going to trouble your conscience. But lies come to fruition. Lies come out. God takes the secret things and He has a way of exposing them. Broken promises, parents. Those are lies. We make a promise to our kids on something. Hey, son, Friday night, we're going to go out and do something together. Oh, son, sorry, I can't do that. And we never make it up. Something comes up, we never make it up. We never fulfill the promise. That's a lie. That's a lie, and it's going to trouble your home. You make promises over and over and over again, and your children learn that you don't mean what you say. And you break down expectations over and over and over again with your children. Hear me, it's going to trouble your home. The lie of fabrication, it's telling others something you don't know for sure is true. That's a serious thing. A bold-faced lie. That's when you can look at somebody in the face and tell them a lie. My friend, if you're on that level, you're on a very dangerous level. The lying of exaggeration. Enhancing a truth by adding lies to it. Compulsive lying. People that lie all the time. You know people live like that? You know Christians live like that? You know Christians can't be known for truth in their home? You know husbands have no trust in their wives or vice versa? They can't trust what they say? That's a problem. It's trouble. The sinful choice of favoritism. Isaac and Rebecca troubled their house with favoritism. And boy, did they ever inherit the wind. Here Isaac had a favorite son and Rebecca had a favorite son, and they both were conniving behind the scenes and trying to work things so that their favorite son could get the better of it. And my, oh my, did it blow apart. Their family blew apart to where the kids wanted to kill each other. Be careful. Work to be equitable with your children. Parents, work to be equitable. The sinful choice of unfaithfulness. You wouldn't think we need to preach this in a church, but the sin of adultery is always hanging around, even the church. It doesn't begin with full-blown adultery. It begins with emotional disconnection from your mate. That's where it begins. It begins with trouble in your household. It begins with trouble in your marriage. And then you're looking for something. And you find something. You find someone. And by the way, the devil always has the perfect storm in this one. Somebody that you can talk to, and somebody that will listen to your problems. And they have similar problems in their lives. And so you really connect with one another. And all of a sudden you have an emotional attachment, and it doesn't stop there. It goes on. I want you to remember, he that committeth adultery destroyeth his own soul. Proverbs chapter number 6. You want to bring trouble into your family, you commit the sin of unfaithfulness. By the way, in 2 Peter chapter 2, it says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. And it goes on to finish that verse saying, curse children. It does trouble your home. That choice does trouble your home. Study David's life and his children. Study Amnon and Tamar and Absalom and Solomon. Study them all. Study their lives. Look at what their lives turned out to be. Trouble. Trouble. The sinful choice of rebellion. Proverbs 17, verse number 11. The sinful choice. We don't think of our family in the realm of choices. Choices that we make. An evil man, the Bible says, seeketh only rebellion. Rebellion is someone whose heart is set on his own way. Rebellion is open or hidden resistance to biblical authorities put in your life. Rebellion is you reserving the right to make the final decision. And may I start with dads on this? Your rebellion is going to trouble your house if you rebel against God. And you rebel against biblical authorities in your life. You come home and you carve up your boss in front of your children. That's going to trouble your home. You come home and you don't like the way the preacher said it or what the preacher said. And you announce it. You're going to trouble your home. You're going to trouble your home when God works in your heart and you resist His working. And you don't respond. And you don't go forward. You don't respond with a tender heart. You know what? You're a rebel. And it's going to trouble your house. If I can encourage all of our men, renew something in the new year in your heart. Renew a tender heart. Don't get a rebellion built up in your heart, a resistance. Well, preacher, I'm not out and out that way. No, most rebels aren't. Most rebels are what I call passive rebels. They're not bold with their rebellion. It's just deep-seated right down in here. Be careful. Rebellion will trouble your house. Young people, rebellion will trouble your house. And by the way, every young person, hear me tonight. Let me have your eyeballs right now. Not only will it trouble your current house, it'll trouble your house for years to come. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Listen, you dishonor mom and dad. You live a sneaky life in your home. You live a life where you don't really aren't serious about following the path that mom and dad have laid out for you to follow. That is, you eat and drink with them, but your heart is not with them. Proverbs describes that kind of a person. Hear me and hear me well. You're going to have children someday, maybe. You're going to have your own family. And I want you to know God doesn't forget. And that thing's going to come back around in your kids. And it's going to hurt. I want you to know rebellion hurts a home. It hurts mom and dad. By the way, it hurts your siblings. Some of you are the oldest in your home. Hear me. Your siblings are following you. You're the oldest. They're looking to you. Where are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What are you going to do? Are you going to follow God in your life or not? And you make wrong steps and you go in a direction of rebellion and it hurts your siblings. It hurts those that are under you. Hear me tonight. I'm trying to help our homes. But in order to help our homes, we've got to avoid some wrong choices. And rebellion is one of those wrong choices. It's a defiance or opposition to any authority or control. May I remind you, young people, that life doesn't work with wrong relationships to authorities. Life works right when we have right relationship to authorities. Rebellion doesn't put you in a right relationship. It puts you in a wrong relationship. And if you have it in your home and you sense it, you sense this averseness, you sense this stubbornness, you sense this resistance in your life, to what mom or dad or the preacher or a teacher or somebody that God's put into my life over me, something that they say, or I just don't want to be around them. There's trouble in your heart. You got rebellion seated deep in your heart. And you better root it out. You better root it out quickly. The sinful choice of cruelty, and I have to close quickly. He that is cruel troubleth his own flesh, Proverbs 11:17. Cruelty is the opposite of mercy. In fact, there are two verses in Scripture that talk about cruelty and somebody that doesn't show mercy. That is a person that's cruel. You know what? They keep account. They don't show any mercy. That's going to trouble your home. You can't be a cruel person. There are times where we need to demonstrate mercy. I could say more there. The choice of covetousness. How about Achan? Achan saw something he wanted to have, and he got it. Did it trouble his house? Oh, my. Oh, my. His whole family's brought before Israel, and they're stoned, children included. Wonder what Achan was thinking. Out on the field as big rocks are being chucked at his children, and he's the one responsible for it. Because he had a day where he was covetous. I want something and I'm going to get it. Yeah, he got it. And he got a lot more. He inherited the wind. The sinful choice of covetousness. The sinful choice of unforgiveness will trouble your home. Every home needs the fresh start of forgiveness. Every home. Let me say it again. Every home needs the fresh start of forgiveness. Every family member will need to be forgiven sometime, somewhere. Why? Because none of us are perfect. But if you can't forgive, you're going to trouble your house. That means there's no fresh start that you give anybody. That means you hold it. That means it sets a tone in your life of bitterness. Oh my, you talk about troubling your home. Needs to be confession of that. Needs to be that you become weary of the poisonous roots that have produced their deadly fruit in your life that's affecting your home. You need to pray over that. The consequences. You shall inherit the wind. It means everything will be brought to nothing or to emptiness. Think about the wind. The wind's unpredictable. The wind's destructive. The promise here is you trouble your house, you are going to inherit the wind. Some end up in divorce courts. Some end up emotionally separated but living under the same roof. Some have troubled children who bring sorrow to their lives. Some have killed. Others have committed suicide. Some have no relationship with their family. You want any of those? I sure don't want any of those. You know the greatest distress upon people today? It's not their job. It's their family. You know the things that dig the deepest, that hurt the deepest? It's the arrows that pierce the heart from other family members. It hurts. It troubles. One wind comes after another. Winds are violent. And the Bible says you shall inherit the wind if you trouble your home. Now watch this. I have no idea what's going on in the minds and hearts of people in our congregation. I can't read minds, but I do know people, and I do know what goes in the minds of people. We have dealt with teenagers who in their minds have it all planned out. As soon as I hit 18, boom, I'm shooting out of here, and I'm leaving everything. I don't want anything that mom and dad has told me. Listen, if that's going through your mind, hear this message tonight. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. You better stop. Lord's putting up a stop sign in your life. Hey, stop that thinking. Hey, get out of that mode. Hey, realize there's a sharp warning from Scripture. I do that, I'm going to inherit the wind. There could be somebody that's planning on leaving their mate. I don't know. I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know anything. But I know people. And I know that we sometimes have choices that we're thinking about that we should never be thinking about. And I know that God uses preaching to stop bad choices. And I've named some bad choices tonight that will trouble your house. And there's an inheritance that comes along with that. Last phrase here is that the fool shall be servant to the wise of heart. Well, preacher, I'm in control of life. Everything in my family is right. Saul was in control of Israel too. And Saul got foolish. You know what foolishness is? Nobody's able to tell you anything. Yep. And you think you're the king of the mountain, so to speak. And your family's the prime example for everybody. Oh, beware, my friend. Saul was a king that became a servant. And God took a wise man by the name of David and replaced him. Fathers and mothers, hear me tonight. You want to be a wise person. If you're wise and you don't trouble your house, you know what? Your kids will want what you have. They won't be perfect, but you'll have respect from them. They may not make all the same choices, but it's interesting in this context of the person that troubles his home is going to be reduced to a servant, is going to have nothing, inherit the wind, and is going to waste a position of influence and instead is going to become the servant. And somebody else is going to take over. Somebody else is going to have the influence that you should have. Because you make choices to trouble your home. The principle of personal responsibility. This is a family matter. And each one of us have a responsibility.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you. Oh,